Today we want to talk about grace versus sin. Before we do that, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your immeasurable grace. How grateful we are that your character is grace, mercy, forgiveness. If that were not the case, we would all be undone. We would all go into eternal death. We thank you that you expressed your grace through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We love your Son, and we love you also. Please speak to us today about this great character trait, grace, that you have. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Grace versus sin. When sin entered our world, it met instantaneously with grace. In a book called Child Guidance, page 188, I found this. The grace of Christ is the only antidote or preventive of evil. Romans 5:20 describes the play and counterplay of sin and grace. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. God knew before sin entered the universe that he had a more powerful weapon than sin, namely grace. Otherwise, God would have been finished and his universe would have collapsed. We know the awful force of sin from our own experience. But we who accepted Christ as Savior and Lord and accepted his conditions of salvation have also felt the greater power of grace, which gave us victory over sin and over ourselves, our own nature. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You and I, on the other hand, have to say, I am error, I am sin, I am death. All of us are the very personification of sin. But thanks to God, Christ and grace are stronger than I and sin. In Luke 11:21 and 22, we read, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. If I submit myself to Jesus Christ, he can change me so that I also become the way, the truth, and the life in a human sense, namely a human copy of Jesus. How? By the principle of Christ in me, the hope of glory. John 1:16, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. This text points to an acceleration, a stepping up. There is a difference in the amount of grace men receive. Christ wants us to receive a fullness of grace. Ephesians 3:19, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. In other words, a fullness beyond computation. There is no limit to the growth potential of a person if he really wants to grow. And there is also a growth from faith to faith. We find that in Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of Christ is revealed from faith to faith. There is also a growth from strength to strength. Psalm 84:7. They go from strength to strength. That means we become always stronger and stronger until we appear before Jesus Christ. We also go from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. What a wonderful escalation! From grace to grace, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. The beginning of it all is grace, and the end of it all is glory Praise the Lord. And friends, this grace is given to all men. You find that in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. This means to me that all men can be saved. All could be victorious. All could be controlling their sins. All could go to heaven. But tragically, many people don't accept God's grace. Or they misuse God's way of salvation. They accept His forgiveness, but not the power to overcome sin. That's not grace, but a disgrace. Ephesians 4:7. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, or according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That means that one man has a pint capacity, another has a quart capacity, another has a gallon capacity. My prayer is, O Lord, triple my capacity. Triple it, please, Lord. Hebrews 13:9. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. It is wonderful to have a strong heart, not just a strong head. Because when difficulties come into our life and God asks us, do you still believe in me? You must answer, yes, Lord, I still believe in you, although everything is going against me. Lord, I know the goal toward which you are leading me. I don't know the way and the means you are using, but I know the goal, and I know who is leading me, and that's enough for me. Dear friends, if our hearts are not strengthened by grace, we will not use the gifts of God, His love, in the right manner. 7 Bible Commentaries 929 says, His imputed grace and power He gives to all who receive Him by faith. 3 Testimony 3:24, our only safety is to be shielded by the grace of God every moment. Mount of Blessing 206, we may become like unto Him, and He will accomplish this for all who do not interpose a perverse will and thus frustrate His grace. Now let us see how this divine grace worked in the lives of sinners and saints. First, God's mysterious grace toward repenting sinners whose lives were changed genuinely. Take Nineveh. When we read Jonah 3:6 to 8 and 9, we find this. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let him eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from His fierce anger so that we will not perish. Friends, that is repentance. Nothing like this ever happened in Jerusalem. Nineveh was one of the worst and most wicked cities in the world. Assyria wiped out whole nations and lived off their property. But the king ordered that all men and animals fast. This was an unheard thing, an unheard of repentance. It may look childish to us to make animals fast, but to God it was a sign of genuine repentance. That was the grace of God in operation in Nineveh. The next example, Korah and his sons. We read Numbers 26:10 to 11. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them along with Korah, whose followers died when the fire devoured the 250 men. And they served as a warning sign. The sons of Korah, however, did not die. That's what the Bible says. The parents died, but not the children. Because the sons of Korah separated themselves from their parents and said, sorry, we don't believe in your cause. and your lifestyle. That was the grace of God in operation. And the sons of Korah became great singers. And you can read their songs of praise to God in various psalms. Look up Psalm 84, 85, 87, and 88. There you find it. The third example is King Ahab. 1 Kings 21, 27, and 29. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went about despondently. God said to Elisha, the Tishbite, "Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days." Yes, a wicked king truly repented and received the grace of God. Another example is King Manasseh, 2 Chronicles 33, 9-11, 9-11, 13, 15, and 16. Thus Manasseh misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. Therefore, the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them, and they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. And when he was in distress, he entreated the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. When he prayed to him, God was moved by his entreaty, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Manasseh also removed the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord, as well as all the altars which he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he threw them outside the city. And he set up the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it. And he ordered Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. This king genuinely repented. He joyfully received the grace of God. Then take the criminal on the cross. Luke 23:42 says, "And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" He pleaded for the grace of God, while the other thief rejected God's mercy by refusing to repent. Take the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 1:15. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Of whom I am the worst, he says. In other words, Paul gladly received the grace of God. In Ezekiel 33:13-15, we read, "If I tell the righteous man that he will surely live, but then he trusts in his righteousness and does evil, none of the righteous things he has done will be remembered. He will die for the evil he has done. And if I say to the wicked man, 'You will surely die,' but he then turns away from his sin and does what is just and right, if he gives back what he took in pledge for a loan, returns what he has stolen, follows the decrees that give life, and does no evil, he will surely live. He will not die." Then take King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, that's another example of a man who had lived in terrible sin and then accepted the grace of God and repented. Dear friends, no one falls so deep that Christ cannot rescue him. Therefore, as long as a person lives, let us pray, work, and hope for a change in his or her life. But, of course, the grace of God can also be rejected or neglected. Believers sometimes say they accepted his grace, but then they go ahead and misuse it to sin. Many a so-called believer in Christ has corrupted the grace of Christ and become a lost person. Let me give you some examples. Esau. In Hebrews 12, 16, 17 we read, "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears." Esau was the firstborn physically, but not spiritually. Or take King Saul as another example. We read that he became a new man, 1 Samuel 10:9. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. Then in 1 Samuel 15:24, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command.'" Take Judas in Matthew 27:3-5. "When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I betrayed innocent blood.' 'What is that to us?' they replied. 'That's your responsibility.' So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself." Here's another man, like King Saul, who had played away God's grace. Or take King Uzziah of Judah, 2 Chronicles 26:16-20. "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him." King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. Why? Because he consciously violated God's commandments and sacrificed in the temple, something kings were not allowed to do. Peter says in 2 Peter 2:21-22, "It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred commandment that was passed on to them. Of them the Proverbs are true: a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud." Jesus says in Luke 11:24-26, "When an unclean, evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then he goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first." Now, all these persons mentioned accepted redemption, but never surrendered themselves to Jesus. They refused his control of their daily lives. In the book Six Testimonies 448, we read, "As one imparts of the heavenly gifts, he makes room for fresh currents of grace and truth to flow into the soul from the living fountain. He whose life consists in ever receiving and never giving soon loses the blessing. He loses the capacity to receive." This great writer, my favorite writer, also writes this: "The power of the grace of God cannot be given in large measure to the churches. It would dishonor God's glorious character to let streams of grace to come upon the people who will not wear the yoke of Christ, who will not bear his burdens, who will not deny self, who will not lift the cross of Christ." In 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, Paul says, "I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Today, tomorrow, we are either accepting the grace of God and cooperating with the grace of Jesus Christ, or we are rejecting or misusing it. In Hebrews 4:16 we read, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Friends, every hour, every minute, we need God's grace. Revelation 22:21, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people." Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.